Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Two major cases still pending. We're going to talk about both of them. Both of them need your prayers. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me on Faith and Freedom is Holly Mead.
Well, I'm going to start with the Doe's case. You recently had a meeting with the Solicitor General. We've been asking the Supreme Court, the High Court, to take this case because these various healthcare workers were fired, were kicked to the curb because they refused the COVID shot, which all of them are associated with aborted fetal cells. So a lot of people had needed religious accommodation from them. And so we've asked the Supreme Court to take it. I think we went through seven rounds. And finally, they said, okay, we want the Solicitor General to weigh in on this case to whether we take it or not.
Yeah, so we filed a petition on behalf of these employees who were terminated because New York passed a policy, a rule, that required employers to get 100% of their employees vaxxed with the COVID shot. And they were not permitted to entertain or consider any religious exemptions. And if they did, even one, they would be fined daily and they would lose their business license. So everyone that submitted a request for religious accommodation were terminated, including one of our clients who has been a remote worker for 10 years, had an exemption from all vaccines for 10 years, had an exemption for the COVID vaccine as well, is a remote worker, applies for the continuation of the religious exemption once this rule came out, and was told religious exemptions are no longer accepted. That's a quote. And that's because of the rule. So no one, not even a remote worker, would get the religious exemption. So that's the issue that we're litigating. And the legal argument is that a state cannot take away a right that's otherwise provided under federal law, in this case, Title VII. Title VII provides a right of employees to not face discrimination on the basis of religion. So when they have an employment policy or rule or practice that collides with their religious beliefs, they need to submit their religious belief and their situation to the employer. The employer then has the burden to engage in an interactive process with the employee to see if there's any way that they can accommodate that particular person's religious objection and belief without facing an undue hardship.
But yet, on the other hand, they were giving medical exemptions.
Yeah, they were giving medical exemptions. And they gave, in this case, an exemption to a remote worker who doesn't come into the office. And he had an exemption for 10 years for the vaccines and also the COVID vaccine. And he was a remote worker. And then they revoked it and terminated him. So they literally created a law that told employers that they cannot comply with Title VII. And if they do, they will lose their right to operate a business in New York.
Well, it appears that Governor Hochul thinks she's above the law. Yeah. So hence why we're in the situation. She won't even listen to this. So that's why we asked the Supreme Court to weigh in.
That's the legal issue. And the legal issue is pretty broad, far beyond COVID, because that means if the state of New York gets away with it, they can do the same thing for any vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
They can do the same thing for a lot of things. And if the employee does not comply, even though it violates a federal law, the employer can be fined or put out of business. So that's why it's so critically important. So we filed the petition. The justices met on it seven times. They conference on these cases and they make a decision seven times.
Is that a record, I wonder?
It's a lot. And on the seventh time, they referred it to the Solicitor General to get the opinion of the United States of America on this issue. So we met, some of our team, and I was part of that, met with the Solicitor General in Washington, D.C. a few weeks ago. And there were about 14 to 16 people from the federal government, including Solicitor General, two divisions of the Department of Justice, EEOC, and Health and Human Services present, and we went through questions and answers, and then about a week later, they met also with the defendants in this case, and now they're in the process, and this is where we want you to pray. They're in the process of making a decision. They may already have made a decision, but they're in the process at least of making that final decision, writing the brief, and they will present that to the United States Supreme Court. And once we receive that, we'll be able to let you know. It's really critical. So if the Solicitor General says the position of the United States is that the Supreme Court ought to take this case and resolve it, then we'll be before the United States Supreme Court later this year. On the other hand, they say, no, it's not the right case to take. It's likely that the Supreme Court will deny review. So it's a critical moment. Continue to keep the case in your prayer. It's Doe's, D-O-E-S, Doe's versus Hochul.
You know, and if they do take the case and rule appropriately, we have another situation in Maine, same scenario with healthcare workers that were kicked to the curb, and there are other situations as well. So that could set a really important precedent for these people that were punished for not taking the COVID shots.
Yeah, the Maine is exactly the same thing. So Maine is the First Circuit, and this is New York in the Second Circuit. So Maine did the same exact thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we challenged it in Maine on behalf of healthcare workers who were the same way, kicked to the curb. They were considered heroes, and now they went from heroes to zeros with these policies trying to get every healthcare worker with the COVID shot. So in addition to that, we also want you to pray for the Bickford case, Bickford versus Bradeen. We represent Emily Bickford and her daughter, now 13 this month, turned 13, Ava. And in this particular case, a judge issued an order that is very hostile toward Christianity. Never capitalizes the word God, always places God in lowercase. That's pretty obvious in terms of the hostility and the bias. You don't put God in lowercase when you're referring to somebody's faith like this, and you know that that particular person, Christian faith, believes in one God, monotheism, not polytheism. So that is evident. But then also gave the father, they've never been married, the father, Matthew Bradeen, two things. Number one, bans totally any interaction, any relationship, any association with anyone with Calvary Chapel, Portland, a church where they, Emily and Ava, had been attending for about 3.5 years.
And he's denied any other church they've asked to go to as well, right?
Right. And the second thing is total denial to Calvary Chapel, total cut off of all your friends that you created for 3.5 years. No contact with them. Not in the grocery, not a birthday party, not at a slumber party, not at a camp, nothing. You can't have contact with anybody, or anything that's associated. That means any literature that they use, any videos, any teaching material. Well, that would also include the Bible. But that's also covered under point two, because then it gives Matthew Bradeen, who's very hostile to a Christian faith, total veto power over Emily, a fit parent, regarding anything regarding religion. He can and has vetoed every attempt to attend any church since December 2024.
Yeah, she couldn't even take her to any of the Christmas services at church?
No.
Any of that?
Not for 2 years, December of 24 and December of 25. No Easter service. Nothing. Nothing like that. And it was hard for Emily and Ava going through the Christmas season where we're all celebrating and, you know, we go to church or we go to different other celebratory events, concerts and other things for Christmas. She wasn't able to go. And it also allows him, and he's exercised that authority, to ban Emily from having Ava exposed to any religious literature, including the Bible. That's how broad this is. Unbelievable. So this is a difficult situation for Emily and certainly for Ava. Ava doesn't understand why she can't go to church. Ava doesn't understand why she can't see her Christian friends, her Christian Sunday school teachers and other teachers and mentors, people that she has bonded with.
And I'm sure she's probably afraid to talk to her father about it as well, if he's that adamant about this.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable that a court would do this. You just don't do it. This is just an aberration. It's unconstitutional. The problem is the Maine Supreme Court, where I argued this case in November, needs to make a decision soon. They have not yet made a decision. Every day is harm to Ava and to Emily, her mom. For more information, go to Liberty Counsel's website. Pray for Emily Bickford and her daughter, Ava. Also pray for Matthew, too. Mm-hmm. Pray for this entire case. Pray for a good decision from the Maine Supreme Court. For more information, visit Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. That's lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. The website again, lc.org.